Am I hooking a few things together for you right now, you see? All right. Now, are these Aryans a subdivision of the Aryans, the Aryan race, a subdivision? Not all Aryans are Nordics, but all Nordics are Aryans. Not all Jews are... No, all Jews are Israelites. You got the picture. A subgroup of the Aryans are the Nordics. The Norsemen. The Scandinavians. What are we calling, Benny? Eric the Red. And these Nordics came down, and they, even in some of those Saxons, it was about 600 A.D., took over England. Anybody been to high school? Yeah, it was. But anyway, if I'm wrong, you correct me, but I'm pretty close. William the Conqueror now, not Eric the Red. He was... What? Yeah, but... Part of the whole Nordic system. And they became the Anglo-Saxons. The word Anglo means English. English Saxons. How many know there's a place in France called Saxony? French Saxons. But the Anglo-Saxons are all over in England. All right. And there are those who are writing a literature right now. Not that the Aryans are the superior race, but they're telling us the Anglo-Saxons are superior, and God has a tremendous destiny for Anglo-Saxons, and if you're an Anglo-Saxon, then you're going to be superior to some of the people that live down the street. Now, before I get too far into this lesson, how many of you have in times past heard teaching, preaching, or read literature or had literature given to you that would tell you that one of these groups, either a Jew is better than a Gentile if he gets saved, or that maybe you got some Nazi literature and Aryan is better, or if you've been getting some what we call British Israel literature, then they say that Anglo-Saxons are better, or there are some groups who even teach the Nords, the Nordic or the Scandinavians, are better than the Anglo-Saxons. How many have received any kind of literature of this type at all? Raise your hands, would you please? Raise your hands real high. Real high so the others don't see what the problem is. Would you turn around and look for just a minute? In other words, this is not an isolated case. Thank you, that's good enough. So we've all received some kind of literature indicating that one of these groups is superior to the other group. I even received a piece of literature that says that colored people can't get saved. How many have heard of that? Does anybody believe that? No. All right. And man said, well, you know, I read one. I can't tell you how bad. I'm not even going to tell you the bad story. But anyway, people have come up with some pretty bad stories describing races other than their own and saying they are inferior and we are superior. Now, at that stage, I better stop. No, let me keep going. All men are created, but we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know where I'm quoting from now, don't you? Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When I was working in Akron, Ohio, on one of these space programs, I was in a carpool, and one of the men in the carpool said to me, "It says in the Bible that all men are created equal." And in my humble way, I showed him how much I knew. I said, "It does not." Nowhere in the Bible does it say all men are created equal. And he said, it does too. And I said, it does not. And the beans in his neck began to come out. And the color of his face began to change. He was at least a red man by then. And he said, it does too. He was an old man, and I decided to quit arguing with him. I lost a friend that day, and it got so bad, and he got so mad at me, and when he got home, he told his wife all about it, and they looked it up, and they couldn't find it, and that made them madder, not at themselves, but me. Because all men are not created equal. That is not biblical. I see what I'm doing? Watch this teeter-totter work. See what I'm doing there? All men are not equal. Turn around and look at each other again for just a minute. Is anybody here that's just like somebody else? Turn around and look at each other for a minute, will you? How many would agree with me that there are certain people here tonight that if we had to tote about a ton of 60-pound sacks of sand, that there are certain people here who could do the job better than others? Would you also agree that if I needed a haircut, there are only a few people here I'd go to? For they possess certain other skills and abilities. Now, there are people who are, can I say, tall and short. That's the tall and short of it right there. We're just not the same. Some short men, I've noticed, make better car mechanics, and some tall men make better ceiling painters. Does that make one man any better than the other? But would you all agree that we're not the same? And we possess various techniques and abilities. I don't know whether I can get my point across like this or not. I tried it once and it didn't go across, but maybe it will this time under these circumstances. If I was Lawrence Welk and was picking a race of people to be the drummer, I'd agree with Lawrence Welk for his drummers. Are always from a certain race. What race? The Negro race. Why? Come on. Listen. If you ever saw a bunch of people strutting in a parade with a baton and they were going to give prizes for the school that had the best, what we call, band front, what school always got the prize, all other conditions being equal? Crispus Attucks. That's the colored school in Indianapolis. Why? Well, man, they just got it. That's all you can say. You know, that's all you... For that, is that all right? Does anybody feel that I'm putting you down because you don't win in the band front? Now, does anybody feel like I'm saying the colored people are superior to us white people because they always win in rhythm and rhythm and blues and that kind of stuff? No, I don't think that makes them any better than us. But for certain things, they have a natural inborn instinct. Is that right? All right. And then we got the Germans. Let me tell you something. If I wanted somebody of the head of quality control, I'd get a bull-headed German. Come on, you Germans. I got a bunch of you here tonight, too. See, I happen to be German myself, and my wife understands a lot about living with a bull-headed man. if I needed somebody who stuck to it, you know what I'm talking about? You see? So I'd get me a bull-headed Dutchman. Because there's something about that kind of a person with that kind of a lineage. I don't know what it is. I cannot explain it. But how many agree that you've already noticed it in one person or another? All right. So I don't have to get on that too much anymore. Is anybody mad so far? Have I stepped on your toes? If I was a casting director and I needed a romantic swashbuckler, you think I'd pick an Englishman? I'd pick me one of those hot-blooded Italians or Spanish, right? With a mustache and, you know, I'm talking about the flamingo and the whole thing. Why? Because there's just something about the quality of that person that gives us that swashbuckling, romantic, and I messed up when I said Errol Flynn. But whatever. You know what I'm talking about, you see. So there are certain characteristics that we look for and we kind of expect out of a genetic stream of people. All men are created equal to a certain extent, I agree. They are created equal in pursuing life, liberty, and happiness. Would you agree that every person here has the right to life? Liberty. Would you agree that every person here has the right to live with whoever they want to live with? In whatever state they want to live? Now, I had a little trouble with that with your divorce laws, but let me go on. And in any state, and they can do the job they want to do. You want to be a plumber? You want to be a carpenter? You understand that? Is that right? And they have a right to the pursuit of happiness. But then, because our society is complex, we put a check on that. We call it liberty. And here's why. In your pursuit of happiness, you have no right to interfere with my pursuit of happiness. See, that we put restraints on this. In other words, it may be that your pursuit of happiness would indicate that you want to expand your garden and make it bigger. That's all right unless you put it on my land. Then your pursuit of happiness interferes with my happiness. And we have laws to prevent you from pursuing your happiness at my expense. You follow me on this? You see, this is what we call a civilized society. Because we don't allow the bully to always get his way. In pursuing his happiness, we got cops. And we can call up the police. And say, hey, that bully was pursuing his happiness, and he was molesting my girls. How many understand that? And a cop will come and say, you can't do that. He says, well, doesn't the Declaration of Independence say I got a right to pursue happiness? And we say, within limits, as long as you don't interfere with somebody else's happiness. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? And so all of us have these rights. They're inalienable. Unalienable. They are self-evident to people of our nation. But those of us who have traveled in other nations notice that these rights are not self-evident in all nations. You ask Kukumini if everybody has a right to life, and he'll say, and ask Kukudapi if everybody has a right to life, and he'll say, no, the only people that have a right to live are people who agree with me. You see, so therefore we live in a marvelous society. We live in a great country, a country that is set out to protect us from enemies, from people who would push their rights on us. Now, I'll also admit that not all of our laws are exactly fair. Are we caught that or not? But in a general sense, we are more fair than other countries. And we're getting better. So even though there are some things that are not fair in this country, and I'll admit that, and sometimes I speak on those things, I'm not going to talk about those tonight. I'm just going to talk about the basic principles that we operate our country under, that our president, our legislature, and our judicial branches work toward. Our preservation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But there are those in our government pursuing life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness who agree with that old man that was in the carpool. And we've got some laws in our nation right now that are trying to force us to say that all people are equal in all respects. Come on. Even ERA. Now, how many know that if I had to load cement, I wouldn't choose a bunch of girls if I had this group to deal with? Because we're not equal. We don't expect to be equal. But if I wanted someone to treat me sensitively and be very careful with me in my sickness, here's a girl over here as a nurse. I wouldn't choose one of you rough men. Come on, nod your head like you understand what I'm talking about, you see. We're not equal. We don't act equal. And there are those in our government who are saying we are equal. And that's not right. We're only equal in certain respects. Now, we would admit that if I needed someone to carry cement and some girls and men were interchangeably carrying the cement, I should pay them equal wages. And not take money away from this person because it's a female. Come on. Now, in those respects, we see equality. Just the pursuit of happiness right there makes, you know, how many would agree that an equal paycheck would make you happy? There's your pursuit of happiness, you see. And so we agree to that. But we do not agree, and we're strongly opposed to the concept that everybody can do anybody else's job. It just doesn't work. Unfortunately, many unions teach that everybody in the union can do everybody else's job in the same union. Those of us who've been in unions know it's not so. There are certain people who can do things better than others and better qualified and so forth, and it's just not right. Now let's move on. God the Lord, Yahweh, calls Zion the apple of his eye. How's that for making the Zionists superior? How many can see there's good reason for thinking that Jews and Israelites are superior? But that's only when they're obedient. It tells us in Zechariah 2:8 and in Deuteronomy 32:10 that the Lord called these people the apple of his eye. But you read the context, and they are the apple of his eye when they are doing what he said to do. How many of you have heard that the Jews are God's chosen people? Come on, raise your hand. How many have heard the Jews are God's chosen people? All right, here it goes. A man just recently wrote a letter. And in the letter he gave me a card, and he says, I guarantee I've got $1,000 in the bank, and here's the bank account number, and he identified it completely, and he said, if you will send me one scripture that says the Jews are God's chosen people, I will give you this $1,000. Hallelujah, I said, I get the witness. I can use that $1,000. And so I got my Bible out and my glasses on, and I began to find the scriptures that I knew were there that said the Jews were God's chosen people. And I got that one, and that's not what it said. And I got this one. Well, it really didn't say that. I thought it did. And tell you what, if anybody here knows where that scripture is, I got the card and I know where the man is. So let's get together and we'll split. 46. What? 46. I'll even do you better. 50-50, because I would have taken the 60. Go ahead.
How does that come about?
What? You mean the derivation of it?
Yeah.
What made it?
How I learned that over the years.
Well, first we learned it in our songs, and there's something else. We didn't notice the difference between the word Israel and Jew, and the Bible is full of the people that Israel are God's chosen. The Bible's cram-packed full that Jacob is God's chosen people. The Bible is full that God have not chosen Zion.
So it's the nation and not the people.
Now we're getting it. It's not a group of two tribes. It's a group of the total. You see that? So there's the first problem. But that's not the only problem. I went over here to the Eric Theater. I hope nobody tells the people at church. And back in those days, the title of the movie was The Fiddler on the Roof. And the old man, you remember the guy that danced like this? And pulled a milk cart? One line. I remember, Lord, you told us we are God's chosen people. Lord, why couldn't you have chosen someone else? Remember that line? And maybe I didn't do it too good, but anyway, I hope you got that. See, the problem is, chosen for what? Were they chosen for blessing or chosen for service? Now, there are those who have written us all kinds of literature teaching us that the Jews are God's chosen people for blessing and they're going to rule and reign. But when you study it carefully, you discover that's not so. God's chosen people are Israel, and they are chosen for service. Because I studied the word chosen, and I found out in every case, the word chosen means drafted. Greetings. You have been chosen by the members of your city. And you got what kind of a notice? A draft notice. You read these scriptures here in Judges 20, 1 Samuel 24, all it goes on and on and on. And in every case, there were 20,000 chosen men. There were 10,000 chosen men. There were 8,000 chosen men. And the word chosen means drafted. Now, how does that make you feel about being chosen? Changes the complexion of the picture a little bit. For God's chosen men are God's men who have been drafted, conscripted into service for His purposes, not theirs. Now, if I was chosen to receive a blessing, that would be for my purpose and benefit. But if I am chosen to be drafted to serve in the armed forces, can only Christians, you know, then it's not for my benefit. Now, many are called, and a few are chosen. You remember that scripture? Well, then you went by the post office, and there was old Uncle Sam with his tall hat and his finger, and he says, I want you. You know, those are the call ones. And some answered the call. But not enough answered the call, so they they chose them for the army. They drafted them, and they forced them to serve. And you'll discover that in every case, the word chosen are those who are forced to serve. Israel has been forced, chosen, not for the benefit of Israel, but they were drafted by God, for they had some type of quality, some genetic, I don't know what, that God saw, and he says, you're the kind of people that can serve me for this purpose. How's that upsetting anybody? How many feel kind of released and seeing some things that perhaps we haven't seen before? You see, and this. Now, take your charts and go home and check me out on this kind of stuff. And I've given you all the scriptures. But have you noticed tonight I'm kind of in a hurry and I'm not going to stop and read them all? Now, would that be fair enough? After all, you came to hear me teach, and so I'm not going to try to prove all the things, though I've given you the proof. And you can go back and check me out later on. And since I'm going to be here next Wednesday, how many realize that I wouldn't have written that stuff down if it wouldn't have proven out for next Wednesday?
Right.
So, it's all there, it's just that I'm not taking the time to prove it right now. And what's this Ebal trying to say? He's trying to say that we have been sold a bunch of goods. Come on, Christians. Some people have been telling us some things that are not so. They've been telling us certain people are having a great advantage in God, and they've been telling us certain people have a great disadvantage in God, and we've been studying the Bible, and it's just not that way. The only advantage or disadvantage you have is whether you're obedient or disobedient. It has nothing to do with your genealogy. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that. It has nothing to do with you were born rich or poor. Somebody else say, praise the Lord for that. It has nothing to do with you're white or black. Somebody say, praise the Lord for that. Black man did, just that man. It has nothing to do with you're male or female. And somebody, at least half the people say, praise the Lord for that. Because a lot of preachers going around saying that you women ought to shut up. Now come on, what did Paul say? Let the women... Amen, brother. That's a two-hour lesson, but if you'll... I forget what tape it is. Ask Miller about which one. But we teach a lesson on the fact that Paul was the apostle to Galatia. Paul was the apostle to Peter came to Antioch. I was staring in the face. Peter was not the boss of Antioch. Peter was the boss of Jerusalem. And each apostle made his own rules, for each area was autocratic, autonomous. Each area had its own rules of conduct. Now, if you don't believe me, Paul told the girls at Corinth to shut up. But when Paul himself went to Caesarea Maritime, and it was the house of Philip, the girls spoke up and Paul shut up.
This Bible teaching by David Ebal will continue on cassette number 2.